tears. He hears your crying. He feels your pain and your agony. Cast all your burdens now. Jesus is with you. He said he always would abide. Just speak his name, you'll feel his presence. You're not for you. There is room at the cross for you. Just speak his name, you'll feel his presence.
Now open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10 and Proverbs chapter 29. Romans chapter 10 and Proverbs 29. While you're finding that place, I want to talk to our bus drivers. At the end of this service, all of our bus workers and bus captains and drivers will be leaving to go get on their buses to pick up our B Sunday school, our bus Sunday school. And I need you to help me with something. Some of our drivers have been going out the exit right here on Tomlin, and we've got to ask you to not do that for five reasons. Number one, you're tearing up the tailpipes on the buses, and that's expensive. Number two, it's so steep, you're gouging out the parking lot with the rear of the bus. Number three, you're jumping the curb and messing up the lawn and the sprinkler system. And number four, we ask you not to do it. Okay? Help us there. You can go out the exit back by the Spanish department or the exit right here going on to Davis. But this exit is off limit to buses. It's not designed for buses, and you're costing money and repairs when you do so. We have to repair the sprinkler system because you crush the sprinkler line and the sprinkler heads. And so help us out with that. It doesn't take great intelligence. Just takes common sense and seeing. But if common sense was common, everybody'd have it. All right. Have you found your place? You heard about the man that worked at the bank? He did a great job, and he was working the books with figures, and his boss came up and said, "My, you're doing a great job. Where did you get your education?" He said, "Yale." He said, "Well, I sure appreciate the good work. By the way, what is your name?" He said, "Jimmy Johnson." Have you found your place? Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. Now, what's funny about that joke is not the joke, but Jimmy Williams got on his computer this morning and looked that up so he could tell Brother McCall, who works at the bank, and he hadn't had a chance to tell him yet. So that's what's funny. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Whosoever, that means anybody. Doesn't make any difference what your education level is. Doesn't make any difference concerning your social status. It makes no difference your ethnic origin. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful, gracious, open invitation for sinners to trust Jesus as Savior. But then there's a warning that I must give you. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Listen again. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." I want to preach to you on the subject today, going beyond God's long suffering. One of the characteristics of God, one of His attributes, is that He is a long-suffering God. But some people think that means that God will never get to the place where He says, "I've had enough, bud." He'll never get to the place where He'll say, "You've gone too far. Now then, you're going to face the consequences." That's what this verse says. Yes, He has given us a gracious, open, wonderful invitation. But don't think that He's going to give you invitation after invitation to say no to and God not get tired of it one day. Going beyond God's long suffering, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Give me power and liberty that only comes from the Holy Spirit of God to be able to preach the message with compassion and with a burdened heart and with true and sincere concern for people who are facing that day when they stand before You without hope. God, I'm concerned about Christians whose hearts have grown hard and cold, their necks become stiff, and they find it easy to say no to Your wooing and Your invitation. Conviction means nothing to them anymore. Help them to realize they're in a perilous place in their life. Now fill me and use me, and I'm asking You today, Father, to save every unsaved person listening to my voice. Convict them of their sin, their lost condition. Help them to realize they need to be saved, and there's only one way whereby sinners can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And I pray that You would speak to those who have grown cold and backslidden and indifferent, and You'd use the message to stir their heart and bring them back to an altar of prayer and repentance and a new walk with God and a new revival, refreshing in their heart. Now we ask and thank you in advance, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our text today is an indictment and testimony against all who reject correction and godly wisdom. Listen to God's warning again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, if I wanted to, I could not read that and soften the impact of it. It is very stern. It's a very fearful verse, especially if you're not what you ought to be as a Christian. And it's letting us know that though our God is a long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, there comes a time when God says, you've had the last invitation. You've gone too far. Now you're going to have to meet me in judgment. We have a long-suffering God. But there comes a time when man can go beyond God's long-suffering. And then verse number 1 of chapter 29 in Proverbs becomes a reality. Long-suffering means to be patient, slow to anger, not easily provoked. However, long-suffering does not mean that God will go on endlessly showing mercy to our rebellion or our rejection of Him and defiance of His will. When God's long-suffering wears out, then He tells us plainly that that person shall suddenly be destroyed and there's no remedy left for them. Listen to the verse, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Here is a warning to every rebellious child and adult. Here is the future of all who reject the counsel of godly parents and faithful men of God. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What a privilege we have to live in this wonderful day in human history. We live in a day when man has the complete Word of God at his disposal. We live in a day known and told to us by God to be a day of grace, a time of grace. We live in a day known as the church age, when God is calling out a whosoever will bride for Christ from all the peoples of the world. We live in a day when any sinner can be saved by confessing that he's a sinner and trusting Jesus Christ alone as his Savior. We live in a day when churches populate all areas of our nation and the Word of God can be preached around the world. We live in a day when man has the opportunity to know more about any subject and especially about God and the Bible than any other age. The common man on the street of our cities has at their disposal 6,000 years of successes and failures of other men and women to glean from. As we draw near to the coming of Jesus Christ, man should be very careful not to say no to God about salvation or about His will for your life as a Christian. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. Now some people preach it that they say there is no God. Some people read it as the fool is saying in a rebellious manner, no to God. Either way is terrible. The Bible tells us that during the time just before our Lord's return, we'll experience what Joel the prophet called the latter rain. In our terminology, it means a revival similar to what the church experienced in the early days after Jesus established the church and the blessings it experienced at Pentecost and thereafter. Joel calls this the latter rains. That was the former rains, and what we'll enjoy, he says, is the latter rains. Today, wherever the Bible is preached as truth and preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, souls are being saved. Christ is truly seeking souls today around the world. There's more Bible preached around the world today than ever before. Sinners are being often reproved in these last days. Yet, we must remember that God wants to save sinners from their sin. That's the reason he sent Jesus into this world. We must remember that God has already made provisions to save any sinner who will come to Him in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. However, we must remember that God will not and cannot save any sinner who rebels against God or rejects His gracious invitation to be saved. That person does not have one chance in 10 billion of making it to heaven. He is lost and without hope and without God. Now, for our message this morning, the first thing I want us to consider is the long suffering of God. Thank God that we have a God that is long suffering. We don't know how many times He'll let us go through an invitation and say no. If He wasn't long-suffering, you'd have one chance and that's it. Because He is long-suffering, some people get more than one chance. But we don't know how many. Now, how have we been often reproved in our day? Well, first of all, by God's Word. By just reading it or hearing it means we're often reproved. We're often reproved by the Holy Spirit of God as He deals with our heart about sin and about our need of a Savior or our backsliding. We're often reproved by God's man as He stands and preaches and teaches the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. He preaches truth. He stands there in the stead or in the place of God declaring God's Word for you. That's the plan of God. Often reproved. We're often reproved by godly parents who gives us warning and teaches us about the principles of the Word of God. We're often reproved by the providence of God. God allowing things to happen in our life that causes us to think about our sin and our need of God and our need of a Savior. We're often reproved by our conscience. The greatest preacher that preaches day and night. We can't get rid of him. We're often reproved by our conscience and the law that God has written upon every heart. We're often reproved by invitations given for us to get saved or get right with God. Now, why should God continue to offer salvation and forgiveness to a rejecting, rebelling sinner? Because He is a long-suffering God. But there is a time when God's long-suffering wears out. Why should God ever offer to save and forgive any sinner, especially when that sinner has rejected God's invitation already? He is a long-suffering God. But we must not forget there is a time when God says His patience, His long-suffering wears out. The reason God often reproves the sinner's heart is because God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. That's what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And that passage of Scripture reverts back to the days of Noah and the antediluvian people, where Noah preached to them for 120 years and they ignored him and rejected him and rejected his God. One day God says, Noah, get in the ark. God closed the door. God says, that's it. God closed the door. When God closes the door, it's closed forever. You can't open that door when God closes it. That world died under the wrath of a long-suffering God who came to the end of his long-suffering and said, now it's time to face judgment. Not all people will be saved. Not all people will get right with God, even though they are often reproved and convicted by their sin. Yet, God is long-suffering. I must ask you, how many times has He dealt with your heart? How many times has He spoken to you about rebellion in your life? How many times has He spoken to your heart about your lost and unsaved condition? Oh, thank God, He's long-suffering. I'll be telling you the truth. It is the work of God's grace and mercy that He would give us sinning people even one chance. A holy, holy, holy God. He had every right to open up hell and wipe us into hell. But He is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Secondly, our text today reveals man's true nature. Being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Now let me tell you, my dear friend, every one of us, because of our depravity, our sin nature, we were born with it. We got it from our daddies, who got it from their daddies, who got it from Adam. The sin nature. Every one of us have the tendency not to have a soft, tender, compassionate heart, but a rebelling, hard heart and a stiff neck. That's our nature. That's our nature. Rebellion, hardening our neck against God, resisting God, saying no to God. That's our nature. And if it was not for the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God and the long suffering of God, not one of us would have an opportunity. Not one of us would have a chance. Sinful man is not good. Nor does he have a God-loving nature. We're quite the opposite. And let me tell you, sinful man does not have a pull toward God. We have a pull toward sin. We have to teach our children to do right. We have to preach the gospel and let people know how to be saved. The tendency of man is away from God. Sinful, rebellion, even lost. There's a better way to describe us than holy, compassionate, God-fearing, caring. Our world's in a state tonight, a terrible state, because of the tendency of the sin nature of man and how faithfully we're feeding it and ignoring our need of God. You see, the unsaved person is a sinner by birth and a sinner by choice. We have that sin nature about us when we're born, even though we've never and had not the ability to make a choice to sin. We still had that sin nature. And then when we got old enough to make the choice, we chose to sin. So we're sinners by birth and sinners by choice. Man, the unsaved person is at enmity with God. That's the reason it requires reconciliation through Jesus Christ before we can have a right standing with God. We're like our father Adam. We willfully disobey. We willfully rebel against God and His Word. We willfully try to run and hide from His presence and His will. We willfully make excuses. Remember Adam? Oh, Lord, it wasn't me. It was that woman you gave me. Caused me to sin. We're still making them. Still making them. Instead of getting right with God, we're trying to justify ourselves by our lies and our excuses instead of accepting Jesus Christ, who can justify us and give us a right standing in the sight of God. This is the state of every unsaved person. We harden our neck against God and we disobey and rebel. This is the condition of every backslidden Christian, a person that's been saved, but the world's crept back in and they walk in the flesh, not the Spirit. They're fulfilling the flesh instead of the will of God, yet they've been saved. When a Christian backslides, that backslidden person rebels and disobeys God. And backslidden Christians are like a rebellious mule. They're no good to God, no good for service. I don't even think a backslidden or a rebellious mule would make good glue. Probably refuse to stick. If glue is made out of dead animals, give thought to the glue you have to lick before it works. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Thirdly, we must take heed to the warning given by God in our text verse. The warning is suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God's patience does wear out. Opposition and destruction always go together in God's economy. Likewise, submission and blessing go together in God's economy. There is a time when man can go beyond God's long suffering. According to this verse, you say, "Now, preacher, I don't believe that." Then tear it out of the Bible and call God a liar. He wrote it, I didn't. There is a time when man can go beyond God's long-suffering, then God no longer deals in grace and mercy. We must never forget about Noah and the people in the time of the flood. Every last one of them except Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons and their wives, drown under the judgment of God because his long-suffering wore out. They went beyond his long suffering. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, dealing with that, says, God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God says there comes a time when you'll say no for the last time. Then you've got to face the consequences. Now, people, I'm not preaching this today because it's popular. And I'm not preaching this to try to win friends and influence people. This is a hard message. I'm preaching this because some of you may be close to that place where you're about to go beyond God's long-suffering. You've ignored God and rejected His Word and rebelled against His will week after week after week, thinking it's going to be all right, I'll have another chance. But hell is full of people that thought they had another chance. And the judgment seat of Christ will be filled with backslidden Christians who said, "I'll get right next time." They went beyond God's long suffering and found out their rejection of the invitation was the last time in this life. How many times have you rebelled against God and His Word? How many times have you said no to His gracious invitation? How many times have you ignored the conviction of the Holy Spirit as He reproved your heart? How many times have you hardened your neck and hardened your heart and stiffened your neck against God and against parents and against pastors who were trying to help you? Be very careful. You could be approaching that day when you go beyond God's long-suffering. There is a place where God's patience wears out. One never wins when he rebels and argues against God. The conscience and the heart of the rebelling sinner becomes so hard and so stupefied that men and women lose their sense of impending judgment and go on saying no. When God's long suffering is exceeded, that person is beyond hope. When God closes the door, no man can open it. And when God closes the book on a man's life, those books are closed forever. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And yet, God puts in His Scripture, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not God's will that you die as a lost sinner and go to hell. It's His will that you be saved. But you can't get saved saying no to God. It is not God's will a Christian ends his life in a backslidden condition. But you're never going to get right with God saying no to God. It's His will that we say, yes, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. It's God's will that we say, it's me, Lord. I'm the one that needs to get right. I'm the one that needs to get saved. He that hardeneth his heart, he being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Why don't you just take time this morning and give your heart to Jesus? Why don't you take time this morning and say, Lord, I'm trusting you today as my Savior. Hey, Christian, why don't you take time this morning and say, I'm going to get right with God. And I'm going to live the rest of my life obeying Him, not rebelling against Him. There comes a time when there's no more invitations. There comes a time when we go beyond God's long suffering. We need to say, yes, Lord, today I'm going to do it. Today I'm going to get right. Now, there's some people here today that need to be saved. You've come to church. You believe God. You believe the Bible. You believe there's a heaven and a hell. But in your heart, you don't know you're saved and going to heaven. And yet, you don't want to go to hell. And let me say to you, there's not one chance in 10 billion you can slip into heaven without being saved. It's an impossibility. And there's some people here today that have been saved and you've grown cold and indifferent in your heart. You're not what you ought to be. You're not living like a Christian ought to live, and you know it. And you found it easy lately to go through an invitation when you could come and confess to Him your sins and have the promise He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you now find it easier just say no. You're in a dangerous place in your life. There's some people here today that are in a perilous place because you're between churches. You need a church home. That's an important thing in our Christian life. We're never going to be right with God and never going to fulfill His will for our life and bypass His church. This is the church age. And it's the will of God for every Christian to be right with God and a faithful attending member of a Bible-believing, New Testament, Christ-honoring church. What are you going to do about those needs? Some of you have not gotten so far away that your neck's stiff and your heart's hard. The Holy Spirit's still doing His work on you. Why would you have to wait until you get in that condition? Why wouldn't you respond to Him while the heart's still tender and the voice is still sweet? This is invitation time. And it's an opportunity for us to obey God in our life. Father, I come to You now in prayer before we sing an invitation song, asking You, O God, to walk up and down the aisles of this building and balcony.